Yes, sir. Brother Dan, I'm
back with you.
Got us locked
in the box. Never violate the code for the streets.
Hold on. Okay, we're good.
So we say we're making history, breaking history.
Tying our weekly show, Triple C Saturday in with State of the City. You know what I'm saying? So again, Tubman City, we're tying in right in Chirac. We connected, so it's no excuse for nobody to get this information. We hitting from coast to coast and outside the coast. So again, the spirit of internationalism, we here, brother. So we locked and loaded.
We went to break about, of course, the importance of teaching our young and future generations of the legacy of your father, Chairman Fred Hampton Sr., the legacy of the Panther Party.
You know, the more struggles do we engage in, the more I recognize never take the legacies of such forces, the Black Panther Party, for granted. And I'm saying this as objectively as I can. A lot of people say, what was some of the unique dynamics about the Black Panther Party? But that dynamic of fighting for self-determination, but fighting for it on their own terms. And whether it be a nefarious intent or naivety, in other words, whether there's an attempt to wipe out this legacy or some people just don't know, it's a continuous battle. And you know what I'm saying? And I'm seeing that more and more, you know what I'm saying? The politics in general has always given me a defense mechanism to say, okay, no, do not let this legacy be, you know, maligned or obliterated, to say, to be watered down. But just to see, to engage in different arenas, whether it be to see forces in electoral political fields, entertainment, music, movie industry, whatever, things that we may have taken for granted, the terms of the Black Panther Party, the titles. I recall a situation in Ireland, in all places, you know, Ireland, and met Bernadette Devlin of the Irish Republican Army. And I remember she had said something. She was talking about how she didn't want to meet me at this museum they had, because even in their respective organizations, there were these other people were the more palatable, the co-opted individuals. And I went to go meet her in a tavern. And when she seen me, she said, I recall seeing you as a child. You had a chain, like a necklace. It had a bullet around the necklace. And she said, I remember the titles. How much they had learned from the Black Panther Party. She said she recalls Deputy Minister of Health Ronald Doc Satchel. She remembers, you know, the details of, you know, how the Panther Party stressed certain dynamics about, you know, the relationships. You know what I'm saying? They didn't go to the same system that oppressed them to validate none of their relationships, their titles. She said that was Chairman Fred. She talked about, this story to Kanye West years ago, right before he said what he said about George Bush, not like black people. I talked about this story. I say there were cases. In fact, the Bernadette Devlin in particular, the mayor of Boston, I think they were giving her the keys to the city, and she turned the keys over to the Black Panther Party. And I said, when the spotlight is on you, you know, there's an obligation that people have, you know what I'm saying, to recognize those who are, you know, fighting. And she told me about when she was in Chicago, before she got banned from the United States, in a car with the Mayor Daley Sr. And she said, you know, he tried to bond with her on just simple, you know, white nationalism, that they both, you know, from the Irish, you know, they're both Irish. And she made a comment to the effect that, you know, no, you were involved. You played a key role with the assassination of Chairman Fred. And, you know what I'm saying? They had put out the card, and she subsequently was banned from the United States. But the impact internationally that crossed geographical and gender lines, in fact, she recommended this book I read, How the Irish Became White. And we're talking, and I see, even some present day struggles that I'm going through. I'm picking my moves on, you know, just like I say, on what dynamics we deal with. Because, in fact, you know what I'm saying, I'm fortunate to have colleagues who are principled, which yourself is included, who I touch down with for input, you know, your thoughts on certain dynamics. And in our arena, we go through, we have battle fatigue, but we don't have the luxury of, you know, putting our guards down, because this is not a 9-to-5 with us. You know, it's just, I mean, it's we say everything's political with the terms, words. It's not a popular position. In fact, Minister U.E.P. Newton said that one of the most difficult jobs of being a revolutionary is fight in the interest of the people, even when they don't know they don't know their own interests. And we try to look through different dynamics, you know, putting the pill in the applesauce, so getting the information out there to the people. Because also, as Minister U.E.P. Newton said, our people do not read as much as we would like for them to read. So we have to use different tactics. But it's a battle. It's a battle, you know what I'm saying? I mean, and I've even adapted to kind of reassess that term that the character Jack Nicholson said in that movie, A Few Good Men. I say, you know, you can't have the truth. But I add to that too. I say a lot of people don't even want to know the truth. They don't. You know what I'm saying? Even the politics of, you know what I'm saying, Hollywood, the music industry, so on and so forth. Adults can, you know, literally, you know what I'm saying, be literally put to sleep. But we deal with the reality and not deal with the reality in a reactionary way. We expose these contradictions, you know what I'm saying, the good, the bad, and the ugly, you know what I'm saying. And it's in the detriment of legacy of an organization standing up on its own terms, on its own, and it turned the communities in the classroom. Now, I'm not talking about a conscious clique or a cult. An organization that literally turned the communities into classroom and sacrificed. You know, I see so many, there are limited examples of showing our people fighting in an objective way. One of the few movies I had dug, it's one piece, I think, ironically, was named The Book of Negroes. And so I said, what's about that movie? I say, well, a couple of things. It shows the duality in our community of brothers and sisters fighting together. Also, it showed a situation where there was some of our people who were already quote unquote free, and went to fight for some others. In many cases, we are given what I call the Sprewell effect. The who played for New York Knicks, and you know, we were forced. Oh, he checked that white coach, but it was about him. It was about him, about him being disrespected. The Black Panther Party sacrificed. Deputy Minister of Health Ronald Doc Satchel was on a college campus when he heard Chairman Fred speaking. Literally left that college campus. Spurs and Jake Williams was a valedictorian in high school, could have been well to do in some other arenas. Chairman Fred could have been a lawyer. Sunday out at Coley, this story is about him, was it Neil Armstrong, whatever the guy that they claim is supposed to be the first white guy on the moon. It was Sunday out at Coley actually taught, like, geometry and mathematics, taught this dude in some school. So they had other options. And that sacrifice the Black Panther Party did, that impacts us people. Because, see, it's strategic that you never heard about former U.S. President Obama acknowledging black, not even going to discussion about releasing any political prisoners, acknowledging that we have black political prisoners. Acknowledging that. That impacts you to find out that someone has a concern for you that doesn't even know you, knows you but don't know you. Sacrifice for you. Just even know that there was acknowledgement that they were Puerto Rican political prisoners. There was acknowledgement of, you know what I'm saying, the different other communities, you know what I'm saying, but that of our people, and to be unapologetically say the Black Panther Party, this is who we are. You know what I'm saying?
Remember, Jonathan Pollard, who was a political prisoner and an Israeli spy, right? Israeli spy, Jonathan Pollard. Obama freed them and let them go back to Israel, right?
Let them go back to Israel. In the political, it's bigger than just the individual. You know what I'm saying? It's even down to the turkeys. About the pardon of two turkeys, you know, before Thanksgiving. It's political. It acknowledges that, okay, if there's a case for Jonathan Pollard to be free, it acknowledges that there must have been some contradictions going on in some respective community. There must have been a war. These are different tentacles attached to it. If turkeys are given a pardon, evidently something must be happening to them. They must be getting killed. Something going on. So just to even acknowledge that you have some people locked up for simply acknowledging our people who standing up for us, we've been deprived and denied of that. The Black Panther Party made it very clear that we are political prisoners. In fact, Andrew Young, they had to check him. He had to get a reality check when he even just made a mistake, a quote unquote mistake, by saying that there were political prisoners in the United States when he came back and he had dressed it up. This allows for the U.S. to go with a cockiness throughout the world. It allows Hillary Rodham Clinton during the time when. William Jefferson Clinton was the president, her to be going to Robben Island prison cell and look out and take a picture, be in Jet magazine, and say, this is horrible. that this man did 27 years here. At the same time, you got the Sunday out of the cold, the counters of, of Rochelle Q. McGee's, who held captive in these concentration camps. It allows, what Malcolm X said, for America's democracy to be an hypocrisy.
Right. Again, family, just turned in having a conversation with Chairman Fred Hampton, Jr. As we're talking about that, let's give the family kind of an inclination or a glimpse of what will be going down on this historic date, Wednesday, December the 4th, 50 years later in Chi-Town or in Chi-Rat in Chicago, my brother.
50 years later, y'all, we're moving hard. We got people coming in from all over, you know what I'm saying? Again, we got people who are not going to be here physically. They're going to be tuning in, you know what I'm saying? We definitely do it at 12 o'clock noon, right in front of the site, ground zero. However, we also might do like we did on the 45th, last time. In fact, the last poet's going to be back in town for this year, and Pan African Movers is going to be here. We might go by there at 4:30 in the morning. That's what we think about going by the site exactly that time. And 4:30, so those 4:30 a.m. going by 2337 West Chairman Fred Hampton Way, also known as Monroe. We're going to be right there, being 50 years exactly to the minute, right there on, you know what I'm saying, on that ground zero. Then leave at 4:30, come back at 12 high noon, the Clinch Fist visual. For the, you know what I'm saying, for the fallen comrades, you know what I'm saying, and I say, for revolutionaries past and present alike, and be honored to have Deborah Johnson, known as Deborah Johnson in, now known as Cool and Jerry, giving us an actual tour, laying out what happened. I just can't stress the importance of that. Her birthday was just yesterday, and I was talking the other day about putting stuff in context. Go back and put that in context, you know what I'm saying? You know, celebrating the birthday, you know, in a quote unquote conventional type of way, but you know what I'm saying? Eight and a half months pregnant, you know what I'm saying? Still on point.
Right.
She gonna be giving us a tour. What happened? That tour would happen. This will be December 4th, 12 o'clock. Then we going to the wall on Madison, California, the big mural of Chairman Fred. Then we have a Cub and Community Caravan. We ride straight down Madison Street from the house that he got assassinated at to the house he grew up in. We're taking it back to the Hampton House. We're doing the Cub and Community Caravan. We ran down there. We're gonna do a tour at the museum. And that museum is at that house. And also we're gonna have Across the Street open. That being Across the Street, that's the elementary school that he went to, Irving Elementary School, and which we have already done so many, you know, transformations in one way or another. This is a school that a couple of years ago students didn't even know who Chairman Fred was, and we have upped the ante over there. You know what I'm saying? We're the Black Panther Party Cubs in the community. So we're gonna be having that Wednesday. Then Saturday we're going to be back in Detroit. We're going to be in Detroit December 7th at Charles H. Wright Museum. It's 8 o'clock p.m. to 10 o'clock p.m. Then Sunday we're back at the Hampton House all day from noon to 8:30 p.m. Artists, programs. We having a 500 food giveaway. For the 50th, 500 food giveaway. We have bags all in front of the. I know it's gonna be. We expect it to be cold. We're gonna be right there serving the people with our programs, the Triple C's, Children, Community, and Cubs. Our programs that have been under attack by the state, but we're still fighting back. We're still fighting black.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Of course, brother. As we've talked about, there's been plans, as we've talked about some years ago, that was coming down the pike, beginning with Forrest Whitaker about he was gonna. But on your dad, right?
Yes,
then there came a few years ago, I think it was Antoine Fuqua.
Yes.
And now we have, of course, Ryan Coogler. There's a current movie out, Queen and Slim, which has some resemblance, of course, to your mother and to your father in terms of the Black Panther Party that's kind of put out there and seeded out there for our people. Speak to, because I know we talked offline with Ryan Coogler when he was there in Chicago. So a lot of our people are hearing this conversation for the first time. Morrow's would have been at all. We're online with Ryan Coogler, a producer that did the Black Panther, you know, movie with T'Challa, and we feel like we in Wakanda because we're having a conversation with him, but we wasn't moved by that. So talk about the importance of what we're seeing now, because we knew that this day was coming, that there would be those, some sincere and some not sincere, that want to do a movie regarding your father, Chairman Fred Hampton Sr. So if you could give us an update on where we are with that.
Yes, indeed. Little background. A little black ground. In this generation, this era of time, we got the social media and everything. there, like even books. Now we take it, you know, for granted, but however, there was a, one historical war story that kept, that's embedded in my brain. It's embedded in, it just sticks in my memory banks. 12 years old. I'm about 12 years old. We're in the basement of this church that we were doing political education classes at. There was a book, a proposal brought to my mother, and it was one of those winters. The gas was off at the house, Chicago winters, and I just recall her. I remember sitting at this table in this basement of this church, and this church is still standing over there too now. But and it's the proposal. It had the one of the police is like the protagonist. It was really, you know, like, you know, this was, it was centered around one of the, I forgot which particular pig, but one of the police that was involved in the assassination, and they had brought a proposal to her, and I was asking, I said, well, if we go with this, that our gas will be cut back on, we have heat in the house, and I just remember her position about, yeah, we not, this is not happening, we're not going for this, you know. That, so this can give people a little background. Some of the, you know, I've been fortunate. As I said before, I'm fortunate to fall from two freedom fighters. Also, there were so many attempts. You know, it was, they have grabbed individuals, not just through propaganda, movies, books, etc. Events that mysteriously pop up around December 4th. You know what I'm saying? To make reference to the chamber frequency. Malcolm X said, "Well, they can't stop it until the co-op, they ward it down, change it, make it something to be." We heard and we even had to do some internal struggles. It's not a subjective position just about Chairman Freer. The legacy of the Black Panther Party. In fact, the former chief of staff of the Black Panther Party, David Hilliard, even relayed to Dr. Dre, because when Dr. Dre was getting the rights to do use some minister UEP doing speeches in a song, the Game, hip hop artist Game, it did called Dreams.
Yes.
He basically told him that they took care of financial responsibility with each other. He said, however, be very clear about Hampton's son. He does not play about the political dynamics about this legacy. So we've gotten a reputation that Forrest Whitaker was talking about doing it. I wanted the discussion to happen, because the deal is sometimes it has to. I make a joke about it. I say, I might give me a white puppet to go on tour with me, because white folks say, or any institution that white folks have validated, things become a fact, a book, so on and so forth. I'm saying, even this unauthorized book with this attorney who was not Chairman Fred's attorney, Jeffrey Haas. People have, you know, we've seen people quote him who, I said, you know that's not the case, you know what I'm saying? So it's a battle of, you know, so what's dynamics to, you know, say the reference, because again, sometimes our people, you know, say, as opposed to the facts, they go to these different dynamics. So the Forrest Whitaker thing, that they go Fuqua, that, you know, saying there was attempts to go, you know, reach for other palatable people in our family. Nothing's all good and all bad. We got into some contradictions. We said, why haven't they contacted us? You know what I'm saying? When the University of Chicago had these events, why is there not an initial contact for, you know what I'm saying, for the widow of Chairman Fred and myself? You know what I'm saying? Who's out here doing the work? So even with this last scenario, you know what I'm saying? It was not an initial contact with us. You know
right.
what I'm saying? It was, and which I laid it, you know, I laid it out. And I want to say this not in a subjective type of way.
Yes,
it's a machinery. When we talk about the police department, the school department, these artificial organizations. People say, "Well, is this something personal? You know, how do you feel about Jesse Jackson?" So on and so forth. It's not. It's, we're talking about a machinery. The people that we have to recognize we're dealing with, you know what I'm saying, or they're dealing with us, they're just getting down on us. So, and also in these different entities' defense, a lot of, it's been so much business as usual in so many cases, you know what I'm saying? Like, even I deal with some of these white left individuals, I said, let me be very clear, I'm not your typical, quote, you know what I'm saying, a prisoner that you can just stay, you know, parade around. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes you have to get that clarity, because a lot of times, we have to acknowledge that. You know what I'm saying? People, how you just preface even about the discussion? We just said the dialogue with Brother Ryan Coogler. I'm glad you raised it out, because the deal is, a lot of, you know what I'm saying, a lot of people do come in it with romanticism. You know what I'm saying? And most definitely even told me before. Most definitely said, no, John Cena, baby. But he told me, he said, "Champ, you know what they say about you in the industry?" I said, what do they say? He said, "When you look at us, you talk to us, you don't have that, you don't look like you're trying to, that you want to be this." You know what I'm saying? He said, "You talk to us, you say, it's a respect that you say that you come in with." He said, "You'll be something people come, you know, other people come talk to them, but it's really, they can look in the eyes and say, this is what you want." You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And we don't come with that, you know? And this latest dialogue, that again, it's been tug and pull, you know pros and cons, and it got to a point where Ryan Cooley, we actually sat down, we did the dialogue, and we laid out some our concerns, contradictions, and not in a way that we put the onus of responsibility just on him, because again, we saying it's a ministry. So even it's been back and forth, and so certain people have called out and say, man, I heard about this. This little interview, and I say, whoa, I say the fact that you just called in now to do an interview you never done before, I say it shows that it's some pros in this. I wanted to keep this discussion about even happening. I wanted to keep it afloat. You know what I'm saying? Because the deal is, just because there are certain conversations that we don't even have. It's kind of like when the U.S. aggression against Iraq. That's even disgusting. You heard people saying, man, Saddam is broken. I said, where you get that? How you feel about that? Well, man, he violated the no-fly zone. I said, where you come up with that term? What gave you the wherewithal even have this type of conversation? So even with this movie, there are people now, this discussion of it, they're even having a wherewithal, they're telling me, people are calling me now, man, do you know how young your father was when he was doing that? I said, you got to be jabbed. So there are cons with this, and it's a battlefield. And some of these dynamics.
Yes, sir, absolutely.
Which I was saying,
you're kind of fading in and out. Again, if you're turning to have a conversation with Fred, you still there, Chad?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yes, sir. So I know when I talked to you, you were talking about there were certain things in the script. They had your mom talking a certain way. Talk about that, because I know that was one of the things.
That's one of the struggles in battle, you know what I'm saying? Because the deal is everything is political. And, you know what I'm saying? You cannot divorce music, entertainment, discussions from the political climate. In other words, let's be very clear. You know what I'm saying? There are certain times that, as opposed to us thinking that the people make it that way, we actually, a lot of times it's directed. This is the way our relationships are supposed to go. This is how we're supposed to operate. And this kind of goes back to what I said, one of the unique characteristics of Black Panther Party. It gave our people an opportunity not to yield and say, well, I want to be different. I have to go with this particular line. Because mind you, you had entities during the Black Power movement in the 60s. And contending entities, like a lot of people got so, they said, oh, well, everybody got on leather jackets against the system. And some people got their heads, some white students got their heads busted in by the Hells Angels one time. Because they seen the Hells Angels with leather jackets. They say, oh, y'all down like the Panthers. And they got to forget, we not with America. And they bust some of the white students' heads in. You had Gloria Steinem, who later on exposed his relationship with the CIA. You feel what I'm saying? And the Panther Party was an entity. Mind you, this is a climate at a time when you had Leave It to Beaver being on the top shows. Mind you, a lot of people didn't know if Pat Nixon, Richard Nixon's wife, could even speak or not. Well, there was, a lot of people said the Panther Party was destroyed because of internal contradiction. That's nonsense. It was destroyed as a result of COINTELPRO program.
Right.
We're talking about Deborah Johnson. This was his wife and comrade. You know what I'm saying? You had women in leadership positions, and a lot of people have no concept of that. A lot of people, not just white people, see us in a cliché, and they benefit. It's a closed mind on how we view. You know what I'm saying? It tends to take away what Sheikh Anta Diop says about our people, the history of our people. African people, in particular, came from a society, a matriarchal society. We can work in harmony with nature, sure, women, so on and so forth. We are oppressed by a system that says one comes at the expense of another. In order for you to be a Black man, you have to oppress this woman, and vice versa. We're in a climate now where it's an agenda push. Okay, so what you say, if a woman is strong, you know what I'm saying, they come at the expense of attacking this man. And a lot of people say, well, I want to be strong, and you force the absolutes. The party, the Black Panther Party, gave us an entity, a politic,
right.
Well, acknowledge contradiction where there's not to be antagonistic contradictions. A lot, but the deal is there's a ironically the same system that gives us this narrative.
Right.
They don't go along with it. You know what I'm saying? They the agenda is not about women with them. It's about imperialism. And whatever face you want Obama, okay, that appeases you, so be it. You want Trump, Hillary Clinton, so be it. But the agenda, whoever the mission man or mission woman got to be. Now, mind you, it is a society, you know what I'm saying? Don't get me wrong. We know the history of it, you know what I'm saying? Don't kill, you know, man, it has a hatred. It's of women, nature, everything. You know, I'll be very clear about the history of imperialism. But be very clear also, this is a system that knocked its own president, not John F. Kennedy, head off. So they kill white men also. You know what I'm saying? So it's not you can't go on the farm and say, man, this pig only eat this type of slop. You put some pigs out there, you're going to eat that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? So I want to so the deal is to put it in context is they give us a narrative of come along with us and divide for your family, as we've seen with the Women's Lib movement that told Fannie Lou Hamer, we're trying to help you get free from PAP, to her husband. Fannie Lou Hamer said, no, man, PAP trying to get free.
That's right. Yes, sir. So in the script, clearly they was trying to create some division between your mother and your father, between the black man and black woman, right?
I don't say this objectively. I don't say this objectively. So it's not, because a lot of times when we talk about these contradictions, it's not just this. It's an agenda that's, you know what I'm saying, that's outside. So whenever we have a discussion, I want to make sure I'm saying the microcosm of it, you know what I'm saying? So people say, oh, it's just like this in Chicago. It's like this in, it's just like this, who's, you know what I'm saying, all of a sudden, who they have the face of electoral politics in different places. I want to be very clear. Whenever we have an opportunity, that a spotlight, you know what I'm saying, this is an agenda that, you know what I'm saying, that we have an entity to be able to say, expose and deal these contradictions, which we have, and I'm not, we are with this path of politics, we have been able to go up in certain arenas. It heightens the contradictions. You know what I'm saying? I recommend everybody, a lot of you do. I just make a joke about it's a long-standing joke you make about me in prison. And then Chairman Fred goes to the Hebrew service, disciple meeting, vice lord meeting, and still come out Chairman Fred.
Come on, brother. Yes, sir.
This entity,
right.
Which I, you know what I'm saying, this is actually the most discussion I've actually went into it thus far. It's not I don't want to divide it to a question of certain individuals. It's a machine. It's a politic. And this experience of even going this far, even this. And it's been some antagonism. It's been some contradictions. You know what I'm saying? It's been the most. I told one sister recently. She said, "How do you feel about this? If, you know what I'm saying? I know you know it's like a tug of war. You know what I'm saying? You see the pros and cons with it, and you know what I'm saying? And even some one thing is some commitment, because we're not going to too much into detail, not to be a spoiler, but even how because there's so many situations, whether it be sci-fi horror movies or a period, whatever case, period movie they call them. Our people end up, you know, Jason or Freddy, they knock us, they kill us first. So at the end, we leave defeated. So I want to say this. We invite people because the scene of the fourth upcoming IRD, that's to be inclusive of saying what the work is done is happening right now today with the movie. That's a commitment we have. And I'm saying this in a way, too. Cause it's all like even some pieces we engaged in, people have said, well, you have the Occupy movement now. That's, you know what I'm saying. You have Black Lives Matter. You have this organization. You have this. You know what I'm saying.
They pop him up during this time of the year. Colin Kaepernick.
Wait a minute. Why is it a consistent effort not to? If that's what you choose, if that's your cup of tea. You know, that may suffice for some people. You know what I'm saying? To go and say, okay. In fact, I was talking about even you look at the contrast, the discussion during the Black Power Movement in the 60s as opposed to now. Listen to the discussion. Fighting for athletes, for him to get a job, as opposed to having athletes who were saying, addressing conditions about what we were going through, but the draft. You know what I'm saying? About I'm not going across the sea to kill no yellow man. They ever called me nigga, so on and so forth. I say, look how we have been devalued to even – and I'm saying this again objectively. Look at analyze the conversation. We demand this person be able to get back on the plantation.
Yes,
you know
yes.
what I'm saying? As opposed, but the birth of it, similar to everything else we talk about, the affirmative action and other discussions, the premise was imposed been about us. The next thing you know, when they get through, you say, "Well, we need." You know, you look at it, you say, "Wait, the numbers don't add up." You know what I'm saying? These are white women getting more jobs opposed to black people, so on and so forth. This, how are we talking about this person? This person being on the football field. What about Mike Brown, so on and so forth? You know?
Right.
So
absolutely.
Got to begin to
wrap up the conversation.
Yes,
but if time permits, Wednesday, I'm on 7 and 9. We can do a part two. You just got to let me know if your time permits on Wednesday.
We're gonna get it in now.
Let's get some closing comments, my brother.
Honor
was mine, comrade.
I first and foremost, Revolution Love and Appreciation. We are literally double breasted right now. We on State of the City and also we on Triple C Saturdays. I appreciate you, brother, for your energy and your and I want to make sure as this process goes on.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? That, you know what I'm saying? This situation, I'm close with this. This scenario, this movie, regardless of the movie, it's been one of the most, I told the sister the other day, I said, it's been one of the most uplifting, draining, inspiring, draining. And she said, Chairman, she's like, you're talking about childbirth. I said, well, hopefully a great situation comes out of this. See, I look forward. And I met some beautiful, you know what I'm saying? And I'm going to say that with respect. You know what I'm saying? It was a principal conversation. With Ryan Coogler, personal conversation. You know what I'm saying? A personal conversation. I acknowledge. You know, I'm gonna say that, but I've had some. That's a whole other story. Other forces. But that's a whole other story, though. But good conversations, and I'm gonna keep you abreast. But I'm gonna say this to you, brother.
Thank you.
I appreciate you. Our conversations online and offline. I appreciate your consistency.
Right back at you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's get some closing comments. And again, man, invite everyone to tune in on Wednesday with everything that's going down for this 50th year anniversary in commemoration of your father, Chairman Fred Hampton Sr., and Minister of Defense Mark Clark, our two twin towers. So, if you would, closing comments and that invitation, my brother.
Come on, y'all. This is some of the 4 IRD International Revolutionary Day. We need to support y'all. Save and maintain the Hampton House. GoFundMe.com/SaveTheHamptonHouse. Also, Chairman Fred Jr. @gmail.com via PayPal. Let's support you can again. Let's make history. Let's take history. Let's tape history. Man, forward to the 50th year. Never forget, y'all, again. Long live Chairman Forever. Long live the physical Mark Clark. You can kill a revolution there, but you cannot kill a revolution.
Long live Chairman Fred Hampton. Go in peace. Revolutionary love to you and to Mama and all the family and all the comrades, those brothers and sisters and comrades. Listening, of course, to Triple C Saturday, Triple C Radio. Thank you, Chairman. And I'll be in contact so we can line up, of course, another Power Pack Part 2.
Yes, sir.
On Saturday. Wednesday, December the 4th. All right?
Yes,
Revolutionary love.
Revolutionary love. Right back at you.
Yes, sir. Got your chest like a bulletproof vest. All right?
Back like, man, get your back like a backpack and chest like a bulletproof vest. Yes, sir.
All right. Revolutionary love. Get family like just tuning in. Just concluded our conversation.
The codes of the streets, and I would never make a promise that I know I couldn't keep, and I would never testify, cop out for a plea, or surrender information on my boys to the police, and you could never catch me on the block without a strap, and I would never pull it out unless I'm about to black, and I could never forget my homies dying for their scratch, but ever pouring out liquor for them, God to the back, and I
Fred Hampton, Fred Hampton Jr., Chairman Fred is in the building, man. Appreciate you coming out to talk with him in the building. I see y'all out there, man. I just want y'all to know one motherfucking thing. I would never, ever violate the codes of the streets and I would never make a promise that I know I couldn't keep.
Hands up, eyes open to fist clip. Thanks, let me get some of this shit. It's gonna be the chairman checking in. Now, when I say cold to the sea, we talking about the path to Cubs. Back at the party, Cubs, that is. I will never violate the cold of the sea. Will never speak nor serve the interests of our enemies. And if I say that I'm with you, we'll come get you. You best believe that, like bad luggage, we'll never leave. Now, of course, I can never say that I'm never gonna go broke. your ass gon' go. One thing for sure, two things for certain. They know to shut up motherfuckers like us. They got to kill us. Close up in the casket. Read a quick verse and close the motherfucking curtains. Never be sad, I would I like a hoe. Never been drunk, I'll never let it slide. Never let it go. Never ever, never ever ever. No, get on my level hoe. Or go get a shovel hoe. It's never in question for my manhood. I get down, I never switch. Never stick, never sit down. I never hesitate to squeeze a nigga six rounds. I never squat to take a piss. Who's the bitch now? I would never put profit over politics, principle, nor our people. I would never sell my soul. Never put bullshit in the business and never place good upon the evil. You see, why I'm determined to die before being dishonored. Committed to being captured and killed before being capitulated. And that would be perfect and pushing this shit to the motherfucking living. And if need be, pull the motherfucking trigger with a pistol without no hesitating. I will pass the cover to my last breath, to my last goddamn roar. And we'll never forget what them pigs did at 4:35 a.m. in 1969 in Chicago on December the 4th. Never, never, never. Never ran, I never will, I ain't never scared. It's in my bloodline, the realest nigga ever bred. And that's some of the realest shit that I done ever said. And I can die, but through my lyrics, I ain't never dead. I never disrespect my mama, never disrespect her mama neither. I never turn my back on Jesus. I never get caught off in the system, I believe her. Man that follows man, ain't a man, and I'm a leader. I will never cross my comrades and never forsake our fight for freedom. And if you listen to my second verse, let me say it again just in case y'all weren't listening. I will never put profit over politics, press with no our people. I will never disrespect the legacy of Minister UEP. Never betray the Black Panther Party. And never bow down and lay down a legacy at the feet of our enemies. Never, never, never. I am a Panther cub by birth and by battle. This is my bloodline and my prison time. And when it be, by wherever enemy, if they try to hijack this legacy, wherever it be, not on our watch. But we'll never, never, never have it. Never, 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 never. Never gonna turn cold, my nigga. I can never trade. I never cross my homies out. That ain't how I made. And I never had not one regret on how I was raised. I'm from the ghetto where I slung and rapped every day. Never knew no other way. This thing gon' never change. Never gonna bite my tongue. Fuck what a nigga say. 100 with myself. I swear to God I stay the same. And when I finally got my paper, I was on my game. Never talk a nigga down. Do your thing, dawg. Never hate a dude for trying. That's the same, dawg. Get your motherfucking money. That's the same, dawg. Too many homies die young. Feel my pain, y'all. October 23rd, 24th, 2016. All roads lead to Oakland, California. Lonely legacy of Black Panther Party. Protected, respected, and never, never neglected. Never, never.